Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Matagy Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community at 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay. And joining us from Muskoka is Ian McKee from McKee Cabinetry Limited. Ian, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks. I'm just took over a business from my father. Dove into the small business world 2 years ago. My previous life was civil engineering, municipal infrastructure in the GTA, and we lived in Lindsay for a couple of years, and we had the opportunity to move to Muskoka and take over a business, and we made that jump.
Sounds like a natural transition going from engineering to what you're doing now.
I had a lot of those questions at the beginning. How are you? Why are you? But there is a lot of stuff that transfers over, project management type roles, and I get to do what I learned in terms of the technical side of things, drawings and planning, and now I get to build stuff with my hands as well.
Well, that's really cool. I didn't realize that you did. We know each other. Ian and I have known each other for a few years. Somewhat joke that we don't like each other. More so, me joking that I don't like him. And that whole thing came about. I don't even know if Ian knows this, but like when we went to the same gym together, and COVID came, and we started doing online workouts, and at the time, you kind of always see like benchmark people. You're like, okay, I should be kind of keeping up with this person. So to me, it was always Ian. And that natural, like, fake competition came about from that. So now the big joke is that we don't like each other. And, like, full disclosure, like, we work together now. But in our contract, it actually says that I'm not allowed to talk to Ian. And I'm going to bill extra if Ian ever pays with me. Not that I have contracts, but I specifically said that in the upfront. Long story, what I'm trying to get at is, like, I was curious, like, what do you actually do there on the day-to-day? I know you're running the business and you're the engineer. Like, are you project managing? What exactly, like, do you do on the day-to-day?
Yeah, so I think when I made the transition, I thought it would be a lot more to the hands-on side of things and less of the project management side. And it's proven to be the opposite. So I would say most of the time I'm managing projects, preparing for them, planning drawings, making sure that there's a steady work coming in for our crew, and making sure the materials are there. So it's a lot of project management, which I'm happy I had that skill before I went and made the transition, because it's really helped us keep the workflow going. But I would say 80% of the time I'm doing the behind the screen thing, not behind the saw thing. And I enjoy that 20% of time I get in the shop. And even if it's just sanding cabinet doors, it's nice.
That's cool. So did you grow up with your dad doing that stuff, the hands-on hammer saw stuff?
To a degree, I actually never worked for my dad or with him. With him a little bit, but not official, you know, cabinetry work. His shop and the shop that I took over before we moved was only 20 feet from the house. So I spent a lot of time in the shop doing woodworking, but never specifically being trained as a cabinet maker. So it was a bit new when I dove into it, but having the tools and being able to use them was, I would say, huge in taking over that role. So no, I didn't work as a cabinet maker before.
Yeah. And what's been the easiest part of transitioning to the new role?
Well, I think that I always envisioned moving back to Muskoka. I went to do structural engineering with the goal of moving back to build cottages. So that the easiest part is coming back home and getting into those cottages that I always dreamed of being in. Being a small business owner, as you guys know, it's not all easy. It's always putting out fires, it seems like, but trying to move the bus forward. But the easiest part was moving home, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. And that's been a good transition.
Yes. Yeah, it's been really nice. Took a little while to land on our feet because there was some, you know, you move back to the town you grew up in and you haven't been there for 10 years. Are you moving back to the same life you left, or are you you moving back to a new life? And it's been really good. It's been really great moving back home and working up here, living up here.
And you alluded to some challenges of being a small business owner. Did you ever have aspirations of being a small business owner, like growing up or going to school, becoming an engineer? Like, were you ever planning on kind of going out on your own, or
how did I had always envisioned owning my own business. So it was something I thought about lots, even in the engineering world. I was probably that guy that was being a bit annoying with the principals of our engineering firm. How did you get here? And when did you do this? And how did you make that transition? I asked them straight up. So, you know, I always had this vision of owning my own operation. Didn't necessarily envision it being cabinetry, and I didn't envision it being an engineering firm either. I was hoping to become an architect and just design places, but the path that had the least resistance landed me in engineering.
Interesting. So what made you think, yeah, I think cabinets is an interesting thing, or, you know, sort of to make that move. So how did that happen?
Well, the opportunity to take on ownership happened. And then it was, does cabinets fit the bill for, you know, fulfillment? And it is building and designing things. The other thing that I really liked was the turnover. Is projects can be turned over fast, and then, as you guys know, if you create efficiencies in your workflow, it can be even faster. And I like that thing, that sort of thing. The engineering world, I was working on projects that were, you know, 10 years before they broke ground, so it was long grinding it out. And so it was really the opportunity, and then what we were creating fit the bill in terms of a lot of things that I like to do, working with my hands, designing things, and then being able to turn projects over relatively fast. I get a lot of fulfillment of finishing it. So yeah, cabinetry wasn't really, it didn't come cabinetry then ownership. It was the opportunity to take over a business that had been operational for 38 years at the time. And yeah, and put my own spin on things.
Awesome. So tell us about that spin, sort of as you take over and where you're growing. What are the things that excite you the most, and what's the type of work that you really want to be doing?
Yeah. So what excites me the most is I'm going to say this with a lot of respect for my father, but bringing things up to speed in terms of technology. Like a lot of things that we do and did were kind of the old school way, very hands-on, handcrafted cabinetry, which has its place, don't get me wrong, but to keep up with the industry, you have to bring in technology and equipment. And so that's what excites me, is bringing in new ways of doing things, even just industry standard type ways of doing things, but also injecting that into the Muskoka market, being able to do it here rather than everyone go to the GTA and bring everything up. So our target market's, you know, custom stuff in the Muskoka region.
That'd be a huge advantage for you, especially in that area, if that people are kind of living in that generation where they did everything by hand, they did everything by pen and paper, and that's good, and it works in a lot of situations, in most situations. But you, from a business perspective, can, like you said, create so many different efficiencies by kind of modernizing the business in ways that are not even radical. Like, I know a little bit about what you did. I think you moved to online type of bookkeeping, right? Like with an accounting bookkeeping software, which is pretty standard, nothing radical, but I'm sure that's probably been a massive time saver and relief for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's minutes and hours saved all over the place. Just tracking and being able to access information. It helps you plan, look towards the future and understand what it can look like and what it has looked like. Just having that at your fingertips, specifically on the financial end of things, has been huge. But that trickles over to all things. What people expect as well is when they go and get a kitchen, they want to see a set of plans that can be circulated to all the subs and has all the details on it, which is, you know, something you have to be able to provide. So there's things that you have to do, the things that are nice to do, and they all help create efficiencies and ultimately deliver nice product.
Sweet. What are some other ways that you've modernized or kind of brought up to speed the business?
So equipment has been one of them. We immediately purchased a new sliding table saw. So we went from like a standard 10-inch cabinet saw, which, you know, did the trick. But now we have a 10-foot sliding table saw. So it goes from a two-man operation to two-man still is faster, but one person can operate it. So we freed up 8 hours essentially of someone's time on a breakout. Now two people can run it in four or less, but it just gives the opportunity to keep that machine running. So that's a big one. And then since then we've, you know, placed order for a lot of other machinery that will have a lot of similar, effects and that will do more operations in one unit. For example, a CNC machine it takes a lot of different steps and combines them into one. So there's challenges in that. You have to be able to, you know, plan and program your projects in advance. So that's leans more towards the project management side of things. And then, but once you get that, the efficiencies on the manufacturing side skyrocket. You can do way more manufacturing in the same amount of time. So I'm excited about that. That's a huge one for us.
Yeah, that's exciting. What's some of the cool things that you've been able to make or some things that you're really excited to be able to make?
Well, the ones that excite me are when we get projects that include the whole, say, cottage millwork. So it's not just a kitchen. Kitchen is like your bread and butter. But then when you get to get creative with the millwork, say fireplace features or one-off furniture pieces that can be included in the scope of work, those ones excite me, because it's not just, you know, square boxes every time. Some of the ones that we've done are the custom pieces that really, you know, we talk about a lot. We've done a few custom benches that designers have sent us, you know, pictures from high-end designers in New York, and they want us to replicate it, obviously for a fraction of the price, but that's another story. But we've looked at it, designed it, and you work hard at it. When it's done, they're really, really cool pieces. So it's nice to be able to keep that kind of thing in and not just be a full-on cabinet manufacturer where you're just pumping boxes out. You get to keep that custom end of things, which I think the Muskoka area and the Kawartha Lakes probably, they cater to that a bit, because there's a lot of secondary homes, and that's where people like to see those really custom pieces.
Yeah, people want to make it theirs, right? It's like, this is my house. You know, I'm inviting people to my second home for a party or for a dinner. I'm showing it off. So I want things to talk about. So yes. It's like, we got our kitchen done. It wasn't, hey, we went to a big box store, we bought some boxes, we put together. It's, they want to tell the story about it being designed, and they want to tell the story of the tricky part of their cottage that maybe, you know, the designer had to design around, and they were able to, you know, work with it to create something that's cool. And then those, custom pieces, which, again, just more things to talk about and show off.
Yeah. And I think being, to Matt's point, our geographical location, I think people also just like to say that, like, it was built here, and it is custom. So that's it's an advantage for us, even just in a word of mouth market. And I think the contractors around here, they like to know who they're calling. And I think deep down, they like to be able to show up at your door and say, why isn't this done? But
that's a big advantage too, right?
Yeah.
And the trust even, on that, the fact that you're making these investments in business improvement and bringing that engineering mindset of project management, ordering other equipment, all of that just builds more and more trust so that, they can drive by or drive down and check, like, hey, is this happening? Because, they're sort of the point person with the client. There's they're dealing with a million pieces of things. So for you to be able to be trusted with the part that they're probably going to talk about the most, I think is really important for them. So just to be that local person, to be able to drive down the road, or if it's like, hey, it's ready, it's coming off the line, but can you come pick it up and take it right over and install it? Like, they probably like that more than, will a truck leave Toronto today with it, or all of those sort of added mysteries that they have to deal with.
No, 100%. Yeah, they like to be close. And then some of this machinery that we're investing in gives us an opportunity to provide things that they would otherwise have to go to the city for in short order. So kind of opening up a market there, one-off door manufacturing or custom designs. We'll have the ability to do that. And that, I think, will also encourage people to use us and trust us. And ultimately, if we provide good product, they'll be coming back.
And it's an area you have to have good product for. It's a very bougie area, Muskoka. It's a very fancy, prestigious area. People probably from across Canada, maybe North America.
The world.
Up there with the world, yeah. Like, wasn't there like Ty Domi and Mark Wahlberg were up there this past summer, a couple months ago?
Oh, yeah.
In a cottage there. So, like, you don't really want cottage up there and then go to the local big box store to slap in a little cheap vanity or cheap island or kitchen like that, right? Like, that's your sanctuary, somewhere that you're going to go and escape, and you want to be comfortable, you want to be cozy, you want to be extremely proud of what you've got. You're probably hosting a lot. You want those people to come up and see this, man, this is amazing cottage that I've got in Muskoka. You don't want to welcome them in the door and like, oh, check out this IKEA coffee table. No offense to IKEA. And I know we said we're going to like bash any company's name, but you need to have that sort of next level of cabinetry, of kitchens, of vanities, of built-in bookshelves and doors and all these different things. And I think that area probably is very happy to have you, and versus, again, like the big box stores.
Yeah, one of the parts that I find a little overwhelming is keeping up with the industry standard around the world. Like, for example, one of our clients lives in California, comes here for Christmas and for 2 months in the summer. They have cars that drive down to the city and pick up all their friends and bring them up. But these people are coming from all over the world to stay at that cottage. And a lot of it is that it's lakefront and it's beautiful, but they want to surround them with pieces that they can talk about and that stand up to the rest of the world, what they see elsewhere. Their friends travel from California, so they're the people that travel everywhere.
For and sure. It's
the market, I think, in the last, 30 years, when Dad started, it used to be a lot of family compounds, like doctors and lawyer type echelon, if you will. And now it's hedge fund managers and CEOs of crazy businesses. And the wealth is incredible here.
Yeah. How do you keep up on those trends? So do you find that it's mostly people coming to you and being like, hey, build this from a picture at an extremely low cost? Or do you have a designer on staff, or do you have a contract designer? Like, how does that work to keep up with those trends and like do those designs?
So designs, I do the design when asked to, and a lot of it comes from designers and or contractors. And generally when the contractor has a package for you, that has been cooked from a designer. So a lot of the trends are put right in front of you, and then we can carry those over to the clients that don't. That's the easiest way to keep up is to see what other people are putting in front of you. It is a challenge to know where people want to go with their styles. A lot of it is very modern now, but occasionally you get somebody and they want that rustic feel. So there's a lot of feeling it out at the beginning, just going through previous projects and seeing what people like, understanding what they're putting into their place. That's kind of how I keep up with it, but I do the designs right now. I would love to grow into having a staff of designers and project managers. That's kind of the goal, is that somebody can help me out with that and free up some time where I can do things that maybe I am better at or enjoy more. But for now, I'm the guy.
Awesome. What is an example of a worldwide trend or something within, you know, even the last year or so, where you were just maybe not necessarily shocked, but sort of surprised and maybe excited about? Or
I would say the easiest answer to that is slab cabinetry. I think it is kind of comes from Europe originally, and then like the warmer climates of California, that chic look, it's here. And it's the sad part about it is it's not as much woodworking and cabinetry as other door styles and styles. Like, it's very simple to construct, but it's taken over. Like, I would say the last 5 years would have been white shaker doors, and now it's slab fronts, flat slab fronts, and often like high gloss finishes, which I think have their place for sure, but it's being used a lot.
I'm just Googling it now. Sorry, we're not ignoring you, but I've never heard of like slab cabinets, but I look at it now like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It probably fits well into your wheelhouse aesthetically. It's just very different, like you said, like glossy, like very like high-end finish versus something a bit more rustic. But
yeah, and the European hardware, the overlay cabinet construction, so you know your door butts to each other, that that's been around for a while, but it also makes building cabinets easier. People can build them less expensive, especially big manufacturers, because they don't have that finicky face frame type look and an extra labor in there. So that's, I think that's pushed the market a lot too. I think they look great, but you don't need to be as skilled to put that cabinet together. And that's why people are manufacturing them for less.
Yeah. Someone was telling me recently about the trend of not using trim anymore around doors. So like doors that are basically like floor to ceiling, no trim. And like, I can't really fathom how that works construction wise, because I barely understand how to do a door myself, but I understand like there's this gap there between the drywall and your door frame, and like they're building it without that gap now, and it's a very different look. And anyways,
And that's Muskoka too, or everywhere, but you see a lot of that kind of stuff. What can be dreamt of, they try and build. So we run into all kinds of unique stuff. We're doing a pantry that's essentially another kitchen. Like, it's the size of my kitchen. But it's in a cabinet door. So you look at a wall of cabinetry, it's the main kitchen, and then you push open a cabinet door and you're in a second kitchen. So And they don't want anyone to know about the pantry unless they are like, come look at my pantry, and they blow through the cabinet door. So you dream it up, we build it up. That's Muskoka for you.
It's amazing the trend of like the secret room, because like that was everyone's dream as a kid. And now everyone has money and they're like, I want my secret room, my secret pantry. I've seen like secret libraries people have.
Offices. It is becoming more and more popular.
My wife sent me something last night about a secret place to put your shoes, like on like a mudroom bench, and then behind it. And I'm like, what do you need that for? It's just like so much more construction. I get it for like the homes that we're talking about in Muskoka, or like for my house right now. Like, I'm not proud of my home on the inside. I should be more proud of it. I have a home. I'm grateful. I need someone like you guys to come in and like build that cabinetry for me, though. But like, I don't need a hidden shoe rack. I do need a shoe rack, period.
Yeah.
If I had a hidden shoe rack, I'd still throw my shoes out just on the floor.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes everybody normal. Even if it's there, we're going to do it the way we've done it forever. I think a big thing with that stuff is the size of these places. They're getting larger and larger. You have the opportunity to do stuff like that because your living room can only be so big, and you get all these extra rooms now because the scale of these places is huge.
Yeah, we were talking to someone else who does work in cottages and was saying like the average place now has like 8 to 10 bathrooms because every sort of room has its own ensuite. And it reminds me of Bear Claw Lodge. So it's in northern BC where my brother-in-law is. And, you know, the person who originally built it owned like a chain of golf resorts. And not the Donald Trump, but another chain of golf resorts. Anyway, he went bankrupt. But when it was built, it was like 10 rooms. Everything's different. High quality, like custom craftsmanship everywhere. And that's probably what you're seeing in Muskoka is, you know, every room is its own statement.
Yeah. We had a client, we were walking around and she said, my thing is ceilings. I hate seeing the same ceiling in every room. So you go in and some were vaulted and some were, you know, pine V groove. Every room was completely different.
I've heard that one before.
So
that's awesome. And that's a good example of a story, right? Of that person is going to invite guests up and they're going to talk about the ceilings in the different places. So they need someone who's going to craft that type of thing for them. Mm-hmm.
So what's next for McKee Cabinetry? Like, what's in the future? I don't mean to put you on the spot with this one, but you did mention like wanting, like you're not a builder, but your background there, big projects, you love being in these big cottages. Do you see McKee Cabinetry doing A-frame cottages, building cottages from scratch? Where does this go from here?
Well, short-term goal is to focus on cabinetry and grow that to a size that I still have a heartbeat on what's going on. I mean, everyone would love to grow their business to the nth degree, but in my previous job, I started at an engineering firm that was 30 people and I knew everyone's name and I knew a little bit about everyone. When I left, it was 110 and I didn't know half the people there. So like, I like that you could get to a size of business that would run comfortably and everyone has their roles and responsibilities, but you kind of know what's going on. So that's my goal, is to get McKee Cabinetry to be the premier in Muskoka that everybody calls upon. We have a few others in Muskoka that we're up against and we're coming for. But I hired my sister, or my sister has joined the workforce here. We're going to be partners in business, and her and I often dream up of other businesses, and staying focused sometimes is a bit of a challenge. We might get too far ahead of ourselves, but I think we'll, this won't be the only business we have here. I don't know if I'm going to become a builder now that I look at it. I think there's pieces of that pie that you could have and run very successful businesses doing, but not necessarily have to take on the challenge of getting somebody to show up and all of those things. First thing that comes to mind is being somebody that comes into the project at the beginning rather than at the end. When the budget hasn't been blown and they need you to start the project, that just seems like such a brilliant business strategy to me.
You don't want to do $4,000 kitchens anymore?
Yeah. I'd rather do $200,000 foundations when they have all that change in their pocket.
Yeah. It's a good thing that you brought up your sister. I was stressed that we weren't going to mention her by name. And obviously she listens to all these episodes and I'm sure she'll listen to this one.
She's a really big fan of the show.
Does she actually listen, do you think?
Oh, I have no idea. Oh.
Like, she's going to listen to this one. And I was stressed that no one would mention her and she would snap and just lose her mind. So she, like, and all kidding aside, I work with her and talk to her exclusively as per our marketing contract. Mm-hmm. And she's the best. She's like, I don't know too many anybody else on your team there, but I don't know if you could have added anyone better to that team for your stability and growth of someone who is great personably with people. She has a great characteristics there, great with ideas, great with moving stuff along, and I think just a massive asset to that team going forward from a growth perspective. So,
yeah, she... that's probably been the best decision or ask. I shouldn't say decision to hire. I asked her to do some work one time and then, you know, I got it back like an hour and a half later and it was like far beyond what I thought it would be. So about 2 minutes after that, I was like, do you want to join the team? So it happened very fast. And Robin is, a force when it comes to getting stuff done, and the pace she moves at is incredible, which helps us move all of our projects along. So yeah, it's been awesome. I also get to talk to my sister a lot more. We talk a lot about work, but it just keeps us connected. I live in the same town as my other sister, so we connect organically that way because our kids get together and we're only 5 minutes apart, but Robin lives on the other side of the country. So it allows us to connect, which is really, really great.
Yeah. I remember I asked her for something and I was like, I don't need it for like a month or month and a half. Like, I'm not going to touch it for a month and a half, but like, let's just prepare. And she sent me something back. I want to say the next day with like, she's like, I don't think this is good. She's right, all insecure about it. It was like way too much information. And it was like a day later, like the way she moves on stuff, and she moves on it so precisely. And it's always so well done. It's just, it's funny.
No, yeah. She's, it's been great. And yeah, we like to dream up the next, which, you know, sometimes we should just focus on what's in front of us right now. But it's a lot of fun that way.
Yeah, Robin is a secret weapon. And what's interesting about, you know, dreaming up various schemes and things is I think unlike some people who are dreamers, you guys as a team could probably accomplish every single one of those things, which is so fascinating just to see, you know, what's going to happen
with the
company someday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well... as you guys have helped us do is celebrate those little wins, and we get a lot more of them now than when I was, you know, pushing all of them forward myself. So it's been good. We also have the same, like, I think we see the future the same. So it's very easy to put a goal out there and then we both are chasing it. That I think is huge in business, is to align your objectives and have, people who are, you know, motivated to just start doing something and try and get it done.
Yeah, it really is one of those core fundamentals of, you know, having that vision for the future and like, yeah, kick the ball out and then run after it and then kick it again and run after it. And, you know, being able to work in that team, because you couldn't possibly do all of the things on your own.
No way.
And to be honest, I don't think you could hire anyone like Robin easily. Like, it would be so hard to even find that person, bring them up to speed. So, you know, working together in that family business, you've been able to sort of accomplish so much, and you're really just getting started on, you know, the visions that you have for the next, you know, couple of decades.
Yeah. Yep. There's a lot in front of us.
Yeah. Which is outstanding. Awesome. Any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to say? Where can the people find you if they're looking to get their swanky custom kitchen and millwork throughout their home or cottage?
McKeeCabinetry.com will get you to all the resources you need and connect with myself directly. So that would be the first stop, and then we can coordinate with whomever needs anything. We don't discriminate from any types of projects. We like to hear about them all and have the opportunity at them all. So yeah, anyone can reach out at any time.
Name is easy to say, not easy to spell. So if you are trying to go to McKeeCabinetry.com, it's McKeeCabinetry.com.
Yes, that's the TREE was something my father came up with, and the logo, the previous logo, which we've adopted a bit as we move forward. And there was great debate, wasn't there, Matt, about whether we change the name or keep it? And I'm glad we did.
Oh, absolutely. I kind of poke fun there, but because I know we talked about this, you and I, years ago, but it's a great name. It's fun. It is different. It just, we have to be careful when we tell people.
Yes.
Cabinetry.com, you got to be exact and specific.
Yeah, and we'll find it. And if you want a New York designer fancy piece created cheap, relatively cheap.
Well, the first time's cheap, you know.
Awesome. Any final thoughts, Matt?
No, usually I'm a bit more prepared for this. All kidding aside, like, we busted each chops for years. And now I think, as I'm saying it, it was mostly me. 95% of the time,
no.
Your job for no reason whatsoever.
Just jealous of how much he can squat.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I've been fortunate enough to work with you for years. I've been lucky enough to work with your wife for years, and now your sister and everyone. And, like, it's been an incredible experience every step of the way. All kidding aside, like, I've loved working with all of you, and I hope to continue doing that forever. And I hope a lot of other people get the chance to work with you, and your wife has a different business, but McKee Cabinetry for years. So,
well, I think that's also a testament to you guys too, that you now work with me, my wife, my sisters. You guys do great things, and that's why we keep trusting you guys and love working with you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. If on that note, if you're listening and you would like to work with the dream team, you can set that up by sending an email to setitup@coworthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.